We need a soundtrack for our times. Peter Tchaikovsky, the most famous of Russian composers, grew up in times of cholera. We thought maybe he could relate. And in fact, now that we're in our second pandemic September, Tchaikovsky's Symphony No. 5 came to mind when we asked our music opinionator, Fran Hoppner, for music with which to start anew. Tchaikovsky himself conducted Symphony No. 5's premiere in 1888 at the famed Mariinsky Theater in St. Petersburg, where a few years later his most famous ballets, like The Nutcracker, would be performed. And our opinionator, Fran Hoppner, joins us now. Fran, one of Tchaikovsky's most famous and grand symphonies. Maybe not one, though, that, you know, people have heard lately. So talk a little bit about how it starts out, and then we'll listen.
You know, the Fifth Symphony starts out really somberly, and it's easy to think in its opening few seconds that this is going to be a real bummer symphony. It's going to be depressing. It has this heavy, slow, almost militaristic quality to it. It feels like a morning march. But I think what's incredible about this symphony and why I think it's great for this time of year is that it builds into something totally unexpected and triumphant over the course of it.
Let's listen. So are we reading too much in here to say that this is perseverance that we're hearing?
No, not at all. So I think something to keep in mind about Tchaikovsky's Fifth Symphony is that it came 10 whole years after his Fourth Symphony. And his Fourth was written over the course of a really catastrophic marriage he was in. He was very depressed. That was his symphony about fate, where I think he really came to believe that nothing was ever going to get better for him. I think he also wrote it coinciding with his time reading Anna Karenina, so maybe not a lot of positive energy in his life at that period of time. And so this is where he reemerges 10 years later with a new symphony, and I think it feels like a reinvention for him.
Okay, and it starts to really pick up the pace. Let's listen. So maybe we're hearing, you know, the clouds part for Tchaikovsky here. He dedicated the symphony to a German music teacher he met while touring Europe. He wrote, you know, kind of tongue-in-cheek that the teacher didn't like his noisy instrumentation and hated his use of percussion, and that he could study in Germany instead of a musically backwards place like Russia. So what exactly is Tchaikovsky saying here, do you think?
I think he's sort of laughing in the face of criticisms like that. This is a really bombastic and at times maybe a little bit annoying of a symphony, but I think he's having a lot of fun with it. And in the years after this came out, he was like, maybe I went a little too far with how triumphant and loud it gets towards the end. But as a listener, you start to really be able to grow with the melody and be able to hum it. This is one that stays, you know, stuck in your head long after you've listened to it.
Well, but it's so interesting to hear this view of Russian music back then, you know, and, you know, here he is. You know, we know that he's had this depression, but he's 48, successful, at the height of his creative powers. Let's listen to a little more. This is one of our mutual favorites, Leonard Bernstein, conducting this recording and this passage. You recently heard the Los Angeles Philharmonic play this live. So they chose it for this time. Mm-hmm. Why do you think it's grabbing attention?
because I think it has this sense of perseverance to it. You stay with the same melody for so much of the symphony that it starts to reinvent itself almost spontaneously, that you're like, wait, I know this, I heard this prior, but in this movement it sounds different, and in the next movement it sounds a little different. And I think it's a symphony about adaptation and coming to terms with moving on. And I think when it reaches the really joyous fourth movement, it really feels worth it that you've come all this way with this melody.
Okay, we're heading there, but first the second movement and a famous French horn solo. Let's listen.
The symphony is almost Tchaikovsky convincing himself over the course of four movements that, you know, there's something to live for. There's something to celebrate.
Yeah. Strings pick up that horn theme. Let's listen.
So what we just heard was a melody, you know, we had just heard in the horns, but with the strings, it sounds completely different. And you'll have a lot of symphonies where the second movement sounds totally different than the first, the third sounds totally different from the second. With each chapter, you're getting a completely different experience. That's not really the case here. You're really hearing basically the same two themes across all four movements, but you're always able to recognize that something has changed each time you hear them again.
Well, it could be Tchaikovsky speaking in his own different voices and exploring his different levels of emotion. He acknowledged in letters that he was gay. Then, as it is now, homosexuality was frowned on in Russia, and he suffered for that, right?
Yeah. I think he did feel like an outcast in his own society.
Yeah. So many different sounds, as you said, maybe sometimes with the same theme. Here's a beautiful waltz that pops up in the third movement. This does feel like an overlooked Tchaikovsky symphony.
Definitely. I think, you know, we as a society prefer his ballets. They perhaps feel much more theatrical or approachable. This is a difficult work of music. It really makes you sit with a melody and ponder it and reckon with it. It can kind of feel like homework at times, but in the way that, you know, the books you read in school wind up being great works of literature, I think this is something worth sticking with.
Yeah. Well, because you get to that fourth movement where everything just comes together. Hold on to your hats. Let's listen.
I think Tchaikovsky lived in a time where artists like him weren't supported either financially or socially, and it made it a very difficult environment for him to create works like this. I think the fact that, you know, a symphony like his fifth one has really endured as a cultural staple of many philharmonic orchestras is testament to his talent, that it would have been incredible to have even more work from him from his lifetime. But the theatricality and the joy that he's been able to provide in his legacy, I hope, you know, endures longer than some of the prejudices that he went up against during the time he was alive.
Fran Hopfner, here and now, music opinionator, helping us listen anew to Tchaikovsky's Fifth, which might be a good soundtrack for this time. He wrote it after coming out of a depression. There were cholera outbreaks in his lifetime, so maybe this piece can also help us start anew. Fran, thanks so much.
Thank you.